Welcome to the Jesuit Schools Network Ignatian Inquiry Podcast. The JSN seeks to be a supportive resource to our member schools, and this podcast is designed to be just that, a carved out space to listen, learn, and engage with issues that matter to our collective work as Ignatian educators. We are eager to encourage a spirit of inquiry across the many layers of our work in Jesuit education. We envision our particular brand of Ignatian inquiry to be the art of inquiry as seen through our Ignatian lens, asking questions and exploring issues that matter in our schools through the frame of our shared Jesuit mission. On today's episode, we will speak with David Card, president of Regis Jesuit High School, about the school's thoughtful and forward-thinking efforts to support meaningful discourse within the community surrounding the upcoming presidential election. David Card returned to his alma mater as the first lay president of Regis Jesuit High School in August 2016 and is the second alumnus to serve in the role. He had previously worked at the school as director of development from 1999 to 2003. Prior to his return to Regis, David served as president of Escuela de Guadalupe, a dual language Catholic grade school in Northwest Denver from 2003 to 2016. He holds a master's degree in public administration from the University of Colorado at Denver and an undergraduate degree in political science from Regis University. During his time as president, David has overseen the implementation of a streamlined structure for academic leadership, reduced costs, doubled the endowment, and increased the budget for financial aid by 50% to serve nearly one in three students, and stewarded the expansion of the campus to 85 acres and construction of a 65,000 square foot science and innovation center. These improvements are part of Inspire and Ignite 2025, the school's strategic vision for access, innovation, and excellence. Dr. Kristen Ross Cully, JSN's Director of Educational Inquiry, joins us for this conversation on such an important topic. Mr. Card, welcome to the podcast. How's everyone doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for inviting me to join.
Yes, doing well, Kristen. Thanks for that introduction. And David, thanks for being here with us today in the midst of a busy back to school.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Yeah, Kristen, anything for you. The full disclosure, Kristen just finished her term as a trustee on our board here. And so it's good to see you again.
You too. You know, it's hard to believe that the summer's behind us and that we're, you know, well into the fall. Regis Jesuit goes back fairly early in August, right? So the semester is really underway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's pretty common around these parts, mid-August. You know, I think that's getting more and more common here in Metro Denver.
Yeah, for sure. So Regis Jesuit High School in Colorado, and we have so many folks that listened that were grateful for listening to our podcast of the Jesuit Schools Network that are from all over, you know, all over the United States and well beyond that. So if you were to tell us about Regis Jesuit, you know, to explain what's special about the community, and it is a special place, but for someone who's not familiar with the school, how would you share about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think what stands out immediately is our unique structure. So we're a single-sex school for both boys and girls. Regis Jesuit was originally an all-boys school for the first 125 years. But in 2003, the Board of Trustees made a decision, really in a desire to be responsive to the needs in our local diocese, to expand the mission to include girls because there was such a dearth of Catholic educational opportunities for young women in Metro Denver. And so that's what we did. And, you know, it took us a little while to really figure out how to be one school with two divisions. But boy, is it exciting today. And the kids really do feel like they're part of one school, but they get their classes in a single-sex environment. And you know, the relationships and the sort of freedom to be vulnerable really happens for boys and girls. And I think it just really gives them an incredible learning experience here. So that's probably what stands out the most, I think.
Yeah, it is it's a remarkable place. I think I've told you that many times, that that's my sense of the school, but it is special in so many ways. The co-divisional model, just that it's a community in my sense that is so forward thinking, so relevant and timely, and just full of people who live so broadly the mission of Jesuit education. So it's one of the reasons we were excited to invite you here today to talk about a topic that's just on the minds of everyone now. And that's the election cycle that we're in the midst of. But particularly how you and your colleagues and your team at Regis Jesuit has been so proactive in thinking about the upcoming presidential election in the United States. So I'm excited to dig into that a little bit with you as we kind of transition here into the conversation that I hope to have. So you really have done a fine job preparing the school, all facets of the school, for the upcoming election. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, describe what you learned from the 2020 election that led you to today.
Boy, that it was just so hard, right? And I think the circumstances in 2020, so far, were probably a little harder than what we might experience this year, just because we were, experiencing COVID at the time too. We were trying to figure out an operating model, in light of restrictions that were being put in place and public policy. It was really difficult to understand, what applied to us, what we needed to pay attention to, all those things. And that kind of played into it. There was an election season brewing. And then we also had the incredibly charged incident of the killing of George Floyd, which was also backdrop for this. And what really challenged us during that time, I think, is that we couldn't get people together, right? It's fall, it's May, June, July 2020. We couldn't get groups together because that's what COVID did to us. And I think we're always strongest when we're in relationship with each other. But, I think as we entered into that election season, we had such an attitude of the less that we can talk about this, the better, right? Because tensions were so high. And I remember commenting to our board of trustees that, I arrived in August of 2016, and then this is kind of post 2020 election when I was reflecting on this, and I told them, I'm not sure if I have another election cycle in me. So I started thinking about this, this time last year, how are we going to prepare? Because frankly, I don't think as a leader, I did a very good job in either case of helping our community and thinking through what is a school's responsibility. But, because I was thinking that way, I felt really fortunate to receive an invitation from the Association of Colorado Independent Schools for their annual leadership conference. And they were planning to have a workshop on this topic, on how do you prepare your community for an election? And that certainly they did a great job. They brought in leadership and design, who walked us through some presentation. But what it ultimately did is had me consider, and this was their advice, consider your own values, your own mission statement, perhaps other things that your community agrees to live by, and bring that into a way of proceeding that's specific to an election cycle, but also which will serve your school in every context. And they were so right. And then, Kristen, I think, as you know, as we really mine our Jesuit tradition, I sometimes wonder if there really is any topic that St. Ignatius didn't offer us some good guidance for. And it was Father Tom Curran, also one of our trustees, who said, really encouraged me to take a look at St. Ignatius's guide to the legates that were assigned to the Council of Trent that the Pope had asked for, and the guidance he gave for dealing with others. And, there was something about the connotation there that it was also tension filled, maybe more so than what we experience today. And so those were two key resources. And one other one is just really, I think the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops has really done a great job of helping Catholics think about how do we contextualize these issues? How do we allow our faith to be a prism? And that we should be challenging our students in a Jesuit school to do exactly that. So a lot of great resources, but I think it is one of those things that when you really feel like in your heart you want to do something important for your community, you want to provide leadership, and you start putting it out there, then people are able to help you. And that happened several times along the way for us to put together a way of proceeding that I think is going to serve our community really well.
It's such an excellent example of leadership. You know, so many educators and school leaders, when you think back over the past few years, I don't know if there's ever been a time where the events of the world and the society around us have influenced so much what happens in our buildings, you know, and you think about just all of the time through the pandemic, through George Floyd, through the election, through everything that you had just explained, that teachers and faculty members and leaders in schools have spent navigating those issues, you know, in the halls, in addition to teaching math and teaching science and so on. What you have done here in creating our way of proceeding, expectations for discourse, preparing for an election year and beyond, what you've done in creating that is really, in a very practical way, help folks in schools make sense of our Ignatian take, our Jesuit take on the world around us. So I just think it's really wonderful. And it's a very special example of living the mission of the school. So I appreciate hearing you explain what led up to this. So tell us, what exactly is our way of proceeding?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, if you go back to St. Ignatius's guidance, it's really worth reading everything that he gave to his to the Jesuits he assigned to the conference. But I think at the end of the day, they can be summarized this way. Listen attentively. This is the guidance that he gave. So listen attentively. Be slow to speak, which I think starts to call into, you know, be thoughtful. Seek the truth in what the other is saying. I think that's a real challenge for us. We don't get that modeled a lot for us in civil discourse that we see perhaps on TV very much. Correct in a humble and gentle way. So there's something about humility. And then allow the conversation the time it needs. And I always say for our context here, it really is context dependent. We really sometimes need to be able to engage things in the moment and then, you know, just based on what an actual school day is. But, you know, I would say this too. And so because of this workshop that I went to that was provided by Leadership and Design, you know, there were a few other examples that they gave us. And I don't have Monica Guzman's book in front of me. But she wrote a book about, you know, how can we talk with each other and also gave some advice on this. And what we did is we kind of took some of the suggestions that she had. And because they feel very sort of contemporary, they were written for this context of polarization that we find ourselves in. And we kind of married those with the guidance of St. Ignatius. And so this is how it sounds for us. We call them our B attitudes. I have to give credit to one of my colleagues, Charisse Broderick King, who came up with this very clever title, the B attitudes, because they all start with the word be. Be intellectually curious, which is also a way to say listen attentively. Be slow to speak. And when you do speak, be constructive. Be intellectually charitable. Seek the truth in what the other is saying and acknowledge agreement and good points. Be intellectually humble. Say, I don't know when you don't know. And clarify misunderstandings in a humble and gentle way. Be responsible for your contributions and your impact. And this idea that whatever we share is our responsibility in person, in written discourse, or on social media, that we have to take responsibility for our contributions and own the impact that we make. And then finally, be patient. Allow the conversation the time it needs. So the idea is, I think what I remembered from 2020 is we had a lot of instances where our students were kind of speaking at each other, past each other. And I don't think we were all that well prepared to kind of elevate conversation. And I think we're much more prepared for that now. Like, you know, being prepared to say, I'm really interested in what's on your mind, but I need you to be a little bit more clear about where you're coming from. And we want to hear you. And what are the, you know, how is it that you've come to own this kind of perspective and allow conversation and dialogue in that regard. So that's what we've tried to put in place here. But, you know, I think really, Kristen, this is something, you know, we started thinking about because we wanted to prepare for the 2024 election. But I think in kind of in my bones, too, I know that, you know, critical thinking is one of the hallmarks of Jesuit education. I think it is for Regis Jesuit. But I think it's under threat. I think polarization and the way that so often public discourse is modeled for us, that critical thinking is really under threat. And so, you know, this is a strategy for us during the election, but I think it really is going to serve us well, as this is a way of proceeding. This is what excellence in Jesuit education ought to represent. When we you know, find God in all things, we desire to really understand where our peers or our colleagues are coming from when we're having a conversation, and particularly about things that are sensitive or controversial.
So your team then, so you took the time, reflected on the experiences of the past, clearly articulated based on all of the references. I love how you said, you know, it's kind of allowing our faith as a prism in this conversation, articulated these beatitudes that is so clever. And then you've shared what you had just so thoughtfully explained, being intellectually curious, being slow to speak, et cetera, in print, right, around the community, and kind of shared it all over. So it's a visible presence of these beatitudes.
Yeah, it is. We did. We developed them in posters, and they're around. They're in all the classrooms. They're in common spaces. And I think they're really meant to be a tool. Like if we feel like a conversation isn't playing out, or people are desiring to speak in a hyperbolic way, we can take everyone's attention to that. Here's our expectation. And, you know, we are interested in what you have to say, but there are some ground rules here, which I think will elevate our academic environment and also our community. And by the way, community here is very strong. I'm really pleased with how this year is going, but those are some of the things that we've done. And then more recently here, one of our student clubs has presented these in what we call an impact period, where we just engage a little bit more deeply in things that are not, you know, in the academic curriculum, but, you know, things that help us be successful adolescents, if you will, or successful navigating social environments. So our students really walked our entire student body through the Beatitudes, which was really cool.
And what was the reaction amongst the kids in the school, also the adults? Like, what have you heard?
You know, this just happened, and so I don't have all that feedback yet, which I'm sorry to say, but I'm really delighted because I think that's how things get owned. Is I remember we talked about this.
You know, I would imagine, I mean, in any kind of tricky conversation, messy, you know, complicated conversations that we have, it's affirming to be able to refer to a way of being. You know, I know as an adult in a community trying to help adolescents work through all of this, I would appreciate being able to reference something that has been so intentional within the school. So I would imagine, even as a parent at home, I mean, I look at the Beatitudes and I think, gosh, this would be nice for some family dinners and, you know, Thanksgiving conversations and so on. I mean, it's just, it's extremely thoughtful. So I think I imagined that you heard, have heard positive feedback, but it was curious.
We did. We definitely got positive feedback from our parents. We started communicating about this in May, and then we just refreshed it late last week. So we had back to school night the week before, and the, you know, parents were able to see it. Well, actually, our principal, Jimmy Trico, in his opening remarks, spoke to our way of proceeding a little bit and mentioned to parents that you'll probably see these posters. But then we just kind of followed up on our May communication. And no, I do think that parents, you know, they really desire that their kids are being taught, you know, how to think critically. But I think they also just want to feel like their own values can be respected, and that they've sent their children to this school for reasons that those are included. And yet within the Catholic community, we don't all think about things the same way. I mean, that's really obvious. And so, you know, we have a great responsibility in trying to, you know, promote critical thinking, to promote, you know, what is a Catholic point of view on the dignity of human life in this scenario, and recognize that still people will draw on different life experiences to describe what's most important to them and how it relates to their faith. You know, but I think we have such a tremendous opportunity in a Catholic Jesuit school to do just that. But I get so excited about just the opportunity. If we can do this well, you know, I think we've always been interested in forming leaders. And I think if we can develop a discipline of how we engage in conversation on difficult topics, we will really be contributing something important, not only in our students' lives, but in the communities that they'll serve.
Yeah, and in the skills that they will take well beyond their years at Regis Jesuit as they head into an even more complicated, potentially, you know, university setting. And, you know, as you said, I forget the initial reference, but when you talked about the guidance for dealing with others, I mean, in a very big way, that's what this is. So I like hearing about just building a culture of civil discourse in a educational setting, in an academic setting, you know, and of course, it's right now with the presidential election is perhaps what has spawned this or motivated it. But it's really its effects, I would imagine, will be in classrooms and hallways well beyond any election cycle, which I think is one of the added benefits of the work that, you know, all of your team here has set for themselves.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're talking about that now, that certainly, you know, this all began because we wanted to be better prepared and be better leaders for our community than, at least I'm speaking for myself, than I felt like I was in 2020 or 2016. But there's so much more to this. And we, you know, so now, you know, we need to make sure that it's part of our onboarding process for new employees. And we need to make sure that it sits within our code of conduct. And what we don't want with this is that this is something that has a disciplinary component to it, but we want it to describe the ethos of who we are and what we're seeking in terms of excellence. So usually within our honor code for students, we talk about kind of a philosophical foundation of what we're aiming at before we get into, and now if you do something like this, you're going to be held accountable. That's not the point of the Beatitudes. It is about elevating, you know, the kind of culture and community that we expect on our campus.
It's very clearly intentionally setting high expectations for everyone, which again, I think is remarkable just in the midst of what any given teacher or leader is dealing with in any day, to think that at the end of that, you know, there are high expectations set. I just think I'll be excited to hear about what's to come down the line once we get beyond the next few months. What has surprised you? You know, you went into this thoughtfully and you're living it out now. It's not anywhere near done, but what has surprised you?
Well, I got to tell you, just kind of rolling back, and when I signed up for that conference workshop, and they started off with the presenter had a slide that said, "When I think about the upcoming presidential election, I feel blank." And, you know, as I was like a participant in that workshop, I'm like, I feel physically sick, right?
Right, panicked.
Yeah, anxious. I feel right. All these things, and now I just feel like, no, man, there are going to be messy situations and things that are really difficult. And you know, just because we have a nice framework in place doesn't mean that everything is easy. But it makes me excited, right? Because I think we can really do something here. And I think obviously high school age kids are just such a perfect age for this. They're testing out, you know, they're trying to identify, well, what do I value? You know, what are my principles? I know something about those that have been given to me by my family and perhaps my faith tradition, but it is this great time where we really invite kids and challenge them to make a set of values their own, to internalize them. So it gets really exciting and, you know, just really changes. Like, boy, we can have these things where, you know, you feel like it could be a really tense or controversial conversation, but let's work through this. Let's see if we can do this. Let's see if we can create an opportunity to really hear points of view that aren't natural to our own. That's a great learning experience.
And it's one of the things I've always loved about Jesuit education, just that there isn't the expectation that everyone is the same, that everyone believes, looks, feels the same, you know, and there is an appreciation for other points of view, you know, as you said, not that may not necessarily be your own, but an appreciation for it. And I just think it's really modeling that high expectation of discourse and what it looks like that will aid and equip students to just live life beyond our schools, you know. And that's so every now and again, I think when you're a teacher, you get to see the fruits of your labor. And I don't know, I just have really appreciated hearing and listening to what Regis Jesuit is doing, because I think you get to feel that, you know, you kind of know that it's coming. It's just about, it's bigger than this moment right now. And I appreciate that so much. We've probably talked about this, but it deserves its own, you know, own bit of conversation here. So how do you think that this modeling of discourse or showing, you know, kind of versus telling of civility, how has it just sparked greater depth in the mission there in school? How has it kind of enlivened the Jesuit mission?
Yeah, maybe something I have to present on, you know, with a few more months down the road. I think, you know, our faculty really responded well to this when we kind of got into it in August. We created the opportunity to do some table topping and based on scenarios. I mean, Kristen, you're a former principal. All scenarios that you probably had some encounter with, and allowing our faculty to talk through it and how to have conversations about certain things with each other. How does that help? And so I think it was helpful. But, you know, I was listening to a different podcast this morning, and one of the points being made is that there's something different about our culture maybe today, that people are much more guarded about talking about their sort of political interests. And I wonder if that's also happening because we're not really experiencing a lot of, like, first of all, we didn't change our curriculum, right? We didn't drop everything that we're doing here to cover current events every day. But at the same time, we don't live in a vacuum, and we just expect that these kinds of topics are going to be part of our existence. But it has been so far, you know, I think, especially given how much dynamism there has been in our sort of kind of presidential political landscape over the last couple of months, you know, I haven't seen too much presence of that. And part of that is because kids have tons of different interests, right? That they've always had. And thankfully, you know, we have tons of activities for kids to do outside of school time. So, you know, it's inevitable at some point we're going to be challenged. And I think, you know, it's just having something to fall back on that really matches with the mission of the school and what we hope for in the formation and the development of these young people.
Well, and you've given a bit of a, like, roadmap's not the right word, but something that allows us to enter in these conversations. Not like people are afraid. They do feel panicked. They feel it's too challenging. So you avoid, you know, and I think this way of proceeding is, it's nice to draw attention to because of that. It allows you to kind of feel some comfort in, well, this has been thought through and, you know, it's a point of influence there. I think it's one of the reasons why when you all were working on it last year at the Jesuit Schools Network, we shared it around with the other schools in the network, you know, the 90 some schools that we have across the JSN, because so many schools are feeling the same sense of challenge, the same wrestling with the polarized conversations that are out there. And how do we kind of exchange positively without ignoring the discomfort? So it's tremendous work. It really is. And I know you've heard a lot of kind of commentary and feedback from other schools as well, that they're taking on similar approaches.
Well, and we've learned from other schools. I want to be clear about that. I mean, I think, you know, entering into this conversation has also, you know, given us the opportunity to kind of refresh, you know, what does it mean to be an educator, and particularly an Ignatian educator? And we borrowed from Jesuit Portland, who did some thinking on this several years ago. I think they were ahead of us. But, you know, as educators, especially when we're talking about these topics that have such division in our community, you know, we need to avoid sharing or promoting our own personal political positions. Our kids, if we're really, we really advise that our kids shouldn't know that about us, particularly in the classroom environment. And so, you know, kind of really allowing kids to explore topics. And if they feel like their teacher is that they know where we stand, right, they're going to be less likely perhaps to bring up a point of view that doesn't match with that because they feel like there could be some penalty to that. And perhaps there would be, I don't know, right? We really have to, you know, that's part of this elevating, you know, a discipline and a culture around critical thinking is what is the role of the instructor? And how do we, you know, how can we best enable kids to consider multiple perspectives from good sources and to think through, you know, using, you know, their experience of this wonderful Ignatian paradigm, context, experience, reflection, where do they arrive, right? We have so many tools within Jesuit education, but I think that role for the educator and really allowing, you know, facilitating students being able to consider really deeply different points of view is one of the most important things we can do.
And within that, helping them discover their own voice. You know, it very much mirrors what we all have done with students and helping them figure out sources and resources for writing papers and the internet and where are the good sources and where aren't and what's my voice, you know. And so it's just a different twist on that for verbal conversations within communities.
For sure. And I, you know, Pope Francis recently wrote about how important it is for us to read literature and the humanities and how much they can invite us to probe experiences and values through, you know, a description of an experience, right? So I just think all of those are part of it. You know, when I think about the resources within, you know, our Jesuit universe and the Jesuit schools network, as we started thinking about this, it's one of my favorite things about working in Jesuit education is just the colleagues that we get to interact with and even the structures that we put into place that enable those kinds of conversations. And I think as you're somebody that you used to work with, Kristen, who introduced us to an organization called Civic Spirit. And so also doing that, which we'll be doing some professional development with our teachers next month, actually. And so just really, again, trying to strengthen our skill set in this notion of helping our kids become critical thinkers. But also, I think, and I'm not sure, my experience of Catholic education is we haven't been the best in civics education. And so just elevating that a little bit, I think it fits so well with our notion of service in the Jesuit school tradition and in the Catholic tradition of our interest in promoting the common good. You know, I think we have some room to grow here, too. So that came, you know, from Tony Orsolani at your former school. So when you start putting things out here, here's what we're working on, you know, things come to you that it just have really enhanced anything that we were thinking about.
Yeah, no, it's the power of being part of a network of schools like ours. You know, I mean, smart people are always drawing on the wisdom of others and the experience. And it's an excellent example of that. So if you were, you know, a teacher or a leader that's kind of listening to this conversation, what do you think comes next? Like, what's a key kind of takeaway?
That is a good question. I just think going deeper, I think what's really helpful is as we can start putting together experiences, right, of real experiences where, you know, especially as we're talking about like a standard that we're looking for in teaching or we're trying to onboard people, where we can kind of talk through strategies of engaging kids in difficult topics and how can we facilitate those. So it becomes much more of just this is how we do it, right? It's kind of like we have a workout regimen before we go into the big competition. It just develops that stamina and that reflexiveness to really become good students of truth seeking.
Sure. No. And for new teachers out there that are finding their way to our schools, you know, your topic, you know, your own discipline, and the challenge will come when kids interact with it, you know, and then stepping beyond that. And I always remember the saying I used to love that, you know, the real work in our schools as a teacher in a Jesuit school, it usually happens after 3 o'clock or whenever the afternoon bell is. That's when the so much of the good stuff of using our relationships as integral to the learning of students, like that's when that comes to life. And it's just, it's a lot of what this reminds me of.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was talking with one of our science teachers, kind of like, I can't imagine that it's very common that a sort of a current event cultural topic would come up in your classroom because you're so focused, right, on your curriculum. And she said, yeah, no, that's right. It's not, but where it is common is, you know, in the hallway, right? And that's an area where we want to help our students as well.
Sure, sure. You know, even just thinking of the points of this conversation, you know, talking about seeking excellence and high expectations, elevating conversations, guidance for dealing with others, considering how our own values kind of engage with these conversations and using our faith as a prism. I mean, this is important work. And so I'm certain that, you know, when you're in the midst of it, sometimes again, you're so engaged in it, you kind of lose focus of how important it is for the kids that are in our care. But I thank you for taking the time to, in the midst of crazy days, to share this with us, because I know it's helpful to other schools and to all those that are listening.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I, you know, just to add on one other piece to what you were just talking about, I mean, I also hope that this gives us a framework for accountability as educators, that if we get contacted by a parent who's concerned about something we did, they're not sure that we, you know, avoided giving a political perspective, that we can rely on this set of standards, and we want our community to hold us accountable to this. It's like anything else in our mission statement. If we get held accountable to fulfilling our mission statement, we're on the right track. If we're held accountable as educators to ensuring environments that support these Beatitudes, that's great, right? And that's a great place for us to have conversation and bring it back there. And our parents have been, you know, really wonderfully supportive of like, hey, this is great. I'm so glad that you're thinking this way, preparing, you know, for our kids. And, you know, you can feel that support there. So a little bit of prayer, you know, so far, I can't say that we've really been tested on some things. We never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
I know. We shouldn't jinx you, right? But it's everyone benefits from thoughtful strategies for working with kids, and they're wonderfully bright, talented, exceptional kids. But they're kids, and they're navigating really difficult times. And everyone benefits from the adults around them being thoughtful, right? Including the adults. So thank you, David. Thanks for sharing this, and well done to Regis Jesuit for being one of the real leaders and putting pen to paper here.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, we've benefited from others in the network. And my hope is that this might be helpful to somebody out there.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ignatian Inquiry Podcast. You can find additional resources from the episode on JSN's website at jesuitschoolsnetwork.org/inquiry/podcast. The Ignatian Inquiry Podcast is hosted by Dr. Kristen Ross Cully. This episode was recorded, edited, and produced by Kristen Smith. To learn more about the Jesuit Schools Network, please visit jesuitschoolsnetwork.org. Stay curious and set the world on fire.